We turn once again to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 6. And we shall read from verse 17. Mark chapter 6 at verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. Amen. We are considering this troubled man, King Herod, Tetrarch of Galilee. We've learned something of him and his view concerning Christ. We studied that on our last occasion when he heard reports of Jesus and his mighty works. His immediate thought was that this was John the Baptist, who was risen from the dead. That was a very strange idea, and one easily disproved by the facts. But Herod had that impression, and it seems that many others took it up. When Herod began to reflect upon the various opinions concerning Christ that were held by the people, it seems he was not so certain of his view that Jesus was John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Now we say that because of Luke's account, and Luke is telling us something that Matthew and Mark do not record, and perhaps it was Herod's more mature thoughts concerning Jesus. We read in Luke chapter 9, Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. So his initial thought had been, it is John whom I beheaded. But his thought became, John have I beheaded, but who is this? Troubled man, confused. And why was this? It seems that when Herod began to hear of Jesus, he experienced a certain fear. We might call it a terror. His conscience was troubling him. He could not get rest. And Mark will now tell us why that was. Mark takes us back to dealings Herod had with John the Baptist. And these are recorded at length. And we are to consider on this occasion the first part of what Mark has to say regarding the dealings that Herod had with John the Baptist. And there are three things for us to consider. And as we look at these things, we're perhaps getting an understanding of Herod, what was going on in his own mind, in his own soul. And the Lord may instruct us through these things regarding our own spiritual condition, where we are with God. That is always the end, is it not? We can study many individuals in Scripture, but we are to learn from them lessons for ourselves, and we are to improve what we read in the sense of being more earnest and sincere in seeking God. And we do not want to make the mistake that Herod made. A sad individual, a tragic figure, like many others we learn of in the Word of God. Firstly then this, Herod's sinful marriage. Verse 17, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. What Mark is telling us is this, there had been a conflict between Herod and John the Baptist. It was a severe one, and it led Herod to seize John and to imprison John. What was it all about? It concerned a woman named Herodias. Now that name is interesting. It suggests, and we believe it is the fact, that this woman was also part of the Herod family. The dynasty of Herod, these Jewish kings. And as we said before, at this time, the time of our Lord's own appearance in the world, religion among the Jews, God's ancient people, was at a low ebb. Spiritually, things were in a poor state indeed. There were the Pharisees and Sadducees in the ascendancy, and they deviated from the truth one way or the other. Vital religion, heart religion, was rare. Just the ones and the twos standing out at the time of Christ as those who waited for the coming of the Messiah, who were expectant, prayerful, exercised. For the most part, the people had gone astray, misled by those who were over them in church and state. Everything was in decline. Religion had become degraded. Do we not see a parallel in our own day? How far we have gone as a nation from our foundation in the things of God, in the law of the Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all manner of sin then comes in. It's approved. And we see it in the laws that are passed in our own land. So here is this woman named Herodias, part of the Herod family. And the whole family is somewhat notorious for unfaithfulness, uncleanness, especially regarding the marriage relation. And Herodias, we are told, was the wife of Herod's brother, his brother named Philip. And Philip and his wife had a daughter, as we shall learn later. And it seems that King Herod had divorced his own wife. And we're told that Herod's wife was the daughter of an Arabian king. And that is a strange thing in itself, for one who would be the Jewish king. Where was the Lord in that? Where was the concern to honor the Lord and obey the Lord? It was not there in this family. It was not there in Herod himself. So Herod has divorced his own wife, and he takes his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, and he enters into a marriage with her. And we could say many things about that, but it's clear, is it not, from the Word of God, that the marriage was both adulterous and incestuous. In various ways. It was altogether impure, improper, and forbidden by God's law. Whether Herod was troubled in his own conscience by that matter, we cannot say easily. We know he would become troubled regarding this, and we shall see that. You see, when things are degraded, when true religion goes out, when there is not the witness, when there is not the Word of God, when the Bible is a closed book, many people quieten their conscience. They get on with their own life, they do their own thing, they fulfill their own sinful lusts. And there may be a warning in the conscience to begin with, but soon that warning disappears. The conscience ceases to speak, and there is that hardening. That is a real thing, and many overlook it. The conscience of peace suggests to many who have such a conscience, all is well. There is no problem. I've done nothing wrong. I can do what I like. I can get away with it. There will be no consequence for me. They're shutting out eternity. They're not thinking of the day of reckoning, the day of judgment. No doubt, King Herod, left to himself and the others involved, would have been like that. And we might have met such people. In our own day and generation, they are not difficult to find. We're speaking of Herod. He's the king. We think of our own nation. Even within the royal household, and certainly in government in general, we can find examples of immorality when it comes to the marriage relation. Indeed, these things abound. And when these things may be practiced at such a level, they are going to have an influence upon the people. Our leaders do not seem to realize that what they do, people may then copy. We like that. We feel we should be able to look up to those who are over us, whether in church or in state. And what such people do, it will be learned, and then it will be practiced by the people in general. All this when the law of God is set aside. When the bands are broken and cast asunder. When man would be as God. When he would take everything under his own control. When he would make the laws and break them as he determines, as he pleases. forgetting that there is an absolute law, a law that is supreme, and we're all under it, and we're all bound by it, and that is the law of God. That brings us to our second point. Herod's sinful marriage, but then John's faithful rebuke. Verse 18, "For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." John is aware of Herod's sinful marriage. It was not lawful because the law of God said it was not lawful. Not lawful for Herod to have as his wife the wife of his own living brother. And that is set out in the book of Leviticus, as we read chapter 18, verse 16. "Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness." And John is a servant of God. We've met with John already in our studies in Mark. Bold John, fearless of man. Yes, there are authorities in the land, but John does not mind that. He knows a greater authority, one high above men, sitting on the throne of heaven. The Lord himself has sent John, sent him as his messenger to prepare the way before him. And John preached, and he preached a baptism, and a baptism of repentance, because that was the way in which the people had to be prepared for the coming of Christ. Sin had to be reproved, and sinners had to be called to repent of their sin. And when Pharisees came to John's baptism, John did not spare them. He brought to them their sin, he confronted them with it, and he told them also to repent of it. John the Baptist, faithful to the Lord, faithful in his dealings with men, without respect of persons. And those who minister the word of God must be like that. Preach to kings, preach to commoners, preach the same truth of God, because it has relevance for all. And it is the rule, the only rule to direct all mankind. John was faithful in his ministry. And there is a testimony borne in Scripture to that. And there could not be a higher testimony. It was borne by Christ himself. Matthew 11 and verse 7, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet." Christ speaking of John the Baptist. John was no reed shaken with the wind. Herod was that. John was no man clothed in soft raiment. Herod was that. John was a prophet. And more than a prophet, he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And here is John, and he's saying to Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now, he didn't say, I really don't think that you should have your brother's wife. It's not very becoming. Might not be very popular. No, there's no authority in that. It was straightforward. It was to the point. It is not lawful for thee. Now, that might be true with respect to the law of the land. It ought to be. But we live in a day, as we said, when the laws of the land no longer reflect, as they once did, the law of God. And a faithful minister will have to say today to many, it is not lawful for you to do this, even though the law of the land may now approve it, because there is a higher law. There is a higher authority, a higher king, God himself. And his law is the standard. It is the measure of what is right on the one hand and wrong on the other. You go to your shorter catechism and you see how it expounds the Ten Commandments. Firstly, what is required in the commandment, and then what is forbidden in the commandment. Righteousness, unrighteousness, opposites, they always clash. And here's the clash, here's the conflict. Righteous John, unrighteous Herod. Now there is the temptation, we acknowledge it, to opt for peace. Not to raise the issue, not to cause any trouble, to let things go. And the church may be guilty of that. But you cannot do that. You cannot be faithful and do that. The truth must be declared. By all means, the truth must be spoken in love, in concern for the individual, and especially for the spiritual good of the individual. And it is to the spiritual good of any individual that if they have committed and are committing sin and grievous sin, that they be rebuked, that they be reproved. It is instructive that John did not confine his rebuke of Herod to this one outstanding sin. He went further than that. We're told in Luke chapter 3 and verse 19. But Herod the tetrarch, being reproved by him, John, for Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. That is the way that the gospel must be preached. Sometimes people will focus on sins that are very public, prominent, and they will challenge such people, they will rebuke such people, they will be able to say, well, that person is a sinful person, Look at what he, look at what she is doing. And particular sins must be pointed out. But the problem that we have, all of us, is not just one particular sin, however heinous it might be. It is sin altogether. And not just the practice of sin, but this, which comes first, a sinful nature, a corruption within our hearts, polluted by sin. And John did not forget that, and he did not neglect that in his ministry. Herod, I tell you about your sinful relation, your sinful marriage. But Herod, I also tell you this. You've done this, and this, and this also. In fact, all that you've done, all that you are, God disapproves of it, as he does of us all, in our natural state, because we are sinners. We sin because we're sinners. Sinners through and through. Sinners in our very hearts, our very thoughts, our very desires and motives. For all the evils which he, Herod, had done, John rebuked him. Herod would commit a greater sin yet than his sin of taking Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, to be his own wife. That sin would be his treatment of this faithful, godly servant of the Lord, John the Baptist. Herod in his weakness. Herod holding on to his sin. He would so mistreat John. He's bound in prison. Then Herod would behead him. And Herod would commit an even greater sin than that. In the way he treated John's message and the one that message concerned. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 7, we have this concerning Pilate. As soon as he knew that he, that is Jesus, belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him, Jesus, to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together. Herod conspiring with Pilate to rid themselves and the nation of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God, and Herod complicit in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we learn there in that portion in Luke something significant. that Herod had of a long time been desirous to see, to meet Jesus. And that suggests that though this man was a wicked man, though he was in many respects hardened, John's ministry had been used to at least cause him to have concerns, his conscience to smart at times, to challenge him regarding what he had done, what he was doing, where he was going. And that brings us to our final point. Herod's reverence for John. In verse 19, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, against John, and would have killed him, but she could not. That is intriguing, surely. We understand that Herodias was enraged by John, because John's rebuke of Herod was a rebuke addressed to her as much as to Herod. And there's hatred in her heart toward John. There's a desire there to get rid of him. But she's not able to fulfill it. Not yet. She could not. Something stood in the way. And remarkably, what stood in the way was Herod himself. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. Now, for all that Herod was, his corrupt heart, his wicked ways, it seems he was drawn to John. There was something attractive about John. What did Herod see in John? What admired him concerning John? Well, John's piety, his uprightness, John's consistency, his steadfastness, how he was courageous. He did not flinch, even though he, Herod, might threaten him. There was something there in John's demeanor and in the way John spoke, the authority of it, the sincerity of it, and yes, we might say the love in it, the spiritual concern John had, even for Herod. Something there that drew Herod in a measure, such that he was fascinated. He observed John. He watched him carefully. And he listened intently. He seemed to take on board much of what John was saying. We're told Herod, when he heard John, did many things. And we wonder at that. It suggests the things that John taught and recommended, Herod, in some respects at least, he did. And he obeyed these things. You see, it was very difficult for Herod to disagree with anything John said, because John taught the truth. And the truth has its own weight. And it brings conviction. And it's difficult to deny it altogether. You have to find a refuge of lies in order to shut out the truth, and the refuge of lies is not a very safe refuge at all. It will soon crumble, and you have to find another refuge. You're trying to shut out the voice, but you can't, because it comes with authority. John's words came with all the authority of the Most High, the God of eternity, the God of truth and righteousness. And this just man, this holy man, John, was a faithful messenger to Herod. Herod went far in observing, listening, and even in doing. But Herod never went where he needed to go. Where should Herod have gone? He should have gone to God. He should have confessed his sin. He should have pled for mercy. He never did that. He never did that. And he's not the only one. Many sit under faithful preaching, and they hear, and they cannot deny what they're hearing. It is the truth, but there's no repentance. There's no going to Jesus Christ, the Savior. Going to the crucified Christ, the Christ of Calvary, the Christ of atonement, the Christ who, as the great high priest of his people, shed his blood, sacrificing himself for their sins to deliver them from the guilt of sin, from the pollution of sin, from its dominion in their lives. You see, sin has dominion over us in our natural and unconverted state. We do not like to admit that. We like to assert free will. We like to say, I can do this, but I can do the other, the opposite, if I choose to. As though we could so easily go between that which is good and that which is evil, that which God approves and that which God disapproves. We cannot. Always and ever, in our natural state, we do those things that God disapproves. And if we do those things which the law commends, it's just in an outward way. There's no love for God there. There's no submission to God. There is no trust in Christ and honoring Jesus Christ. It's all in our own strength. It's all a work which we will then present to God as a ground whereby he should accept us and overlook our sin. And it's also foolish. The gospel says otherwise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. Well, Herod feared John. There was a certain trembling there. And he went far. But he never went to God. He never went to Christ. He never repented of his sin. In the end, Herod would yield to Herodias and the demand that came when the daughter of Herodias danced before him and she required the head of John the Baptist. You see, hypocrites may hear the word of God, and they may do many things under that word, showing that they have a common conviction, as it were, of the Spirit of God with the word. But there is always some particular sin, some particular lust, which they are not willing to depart from, to leave behind, and for which they do not want to be rebuked. It's too uncomfortable, and they're holding on to these things. And that is their folly, and that is their ruin, and that, with all their other sins, is their damnation. Oh, beware of it. Do not harden yourself under the gospel. Hear the word, keep the word, seek God's mercy, turn from your sin, and as a believer, turn daily from your sin. Trust in Jesus Christ for righteousness before God, a full pardon, and eternal life. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord our God, search us and try us by thy word, which is truth. And may we know the blessing of being convicted and convinced of our sin. For when it is so, when grace is at work in that way, we shall be brought out of ourselves and every refuge, and we will go to the one true refuge, to Jesus Christ, in whom there is salvation. O blessed be thy name, for thine abundant mercy and grace. And may Christ be praised as the Saviour from sin, and the one who not only saves, but keeps his people, even unto the end, and life eternal. Bless thy word, forgive our sin, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.